It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley are here. Ooh, baby. We got lots to talk about, including Microsoft caving on the name SkyDrive. It's all ahead with Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 322, recorded August 1st, 2013. Bye-bye, Sky. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Bespoke Post, a product subscription club for men. Bespoke's monthly box of awesome keeps you up to date on the latest in food, drink, fashion, and more. For 20% off your first box, visit bespokepost.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the first day of August 2013, and Paul Theroux and Mary Jo are here. Of course, Paul's not here, really. He's in Amsterdam. Hey, Paul.
I'm somewhere.
The advantage of being a blogger is, you know, you can do that anywhere, can't you?
Yeah.
Even a podcaster, frankly.
I can do my job poorly from anywhere, Leo.
Mary Jo Foley is still in New York. Paul blogs for the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley blogs for ZDNet at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And between the two of them, there ain't nothing about Microsoft that they don't know. Microsoft and beer. Experts on the two.
What a combo.
It is a perfect combination. In fact, some days you need a beer.
I've already had an amazing beer experience here.
Have you?
Oh,
and I'm taking it's not Amstel Light.
No, actually, you got to be careful here, because when you go into a lot of pubs and restaurants, they have it just says beer.
Yeah.
And beer means Heineken.
Oh.
And Heineken, Leo, let's be clear, Heineken
not
is beer. Not beer.
Isn't that interesting? You know, because in Australia, you can't order a Foster's. They laugh at you. And I just always assumed Heineken was kind of the same. It was like the phony beer of Holland.
No,
but no, it's really...
Everywhere. Amstel's everywhere here.
Huh. Yeah. So what did you have that was so damn fine?
I think it was called... I wouldn't know the name of it.
Beer. It was called beer.
It was like the villain from that... the James Bond movie. It was like Le Chouffre or something.
Le Chouffre.
It was probably Le Chouffre, right? Was it Le Chouffre?
Oh, see? Ask Mary Jo. There's not a beer she doesn't know. Le Chouffre. Is that a famous Dutch beer?
It's a very famous beer.
8 or 9% alcohol, so...
It's C-H-O-U-F-F-E.
Yes.
It's got the little gnome on the glass.
Yep.
Any beer with a gnome on it's good for me. Gnome, sweet gnome.
Yeah.
So you've been there for almost a week now. You've been having fun. You enjoy it. You like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been here before, and I love the city. I love it here.
Good.
So, yeah.
You know, I've been there like in transit. Schiphol Airport is fabulous.
I love this airport.
It's a great airport.
Yeah, going to airports is actually a lot of fun when you're not the one flying. And if you have to go to an airport, seriously, and if you have to go to an airport and just hang out, I mean, it's like a ball. It's really good. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Good choices. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Lots to talk about this week, as usual with Microsoft. In your notes, you say let's start with a Surface.
We learned a little good news this week.
We learned a little bit about Surface in the quarterly results. Told us a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So you say I'm surprised. $2 billion, is that right?
At least $2 billion. It's kind of hard to put a total on it because they have some numbers that they revealed in their SEC filing. But there were also some numbers they didn't reveal because there were R&D costs that occurred on Surface before this fiscal year. Absolutely.
And this is not just Surface RT. This is Surface Pro as well.
Right.
Both services.
So is Surface Pro not selling well? Do we know?
We don't really know.
Yeah.
So the one new number we found out this week from the SEC filing was Microsoft's revenues from both surfaces since they were launched was $853 million.
That was from both?
Both.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Right.
But, I thought that was just RT. That was both.
Yeah, it was both.
That's not good.
But you know what we don't know, and I saw some people kind of jumping to conclusions here.
I love the numbers that people come up with.
I know.
Right?
The millions. Suddenly they're dividing like two numbers that here's the average selling price. If you figure out the average selling price between Surface RT and Pro,
that would assume they both sell equally well. But we know that RT certainly is not selling as well as.
And we also know Microsoft's been selling Surface RTs and Pros at their shows lately for very steep discounts too, which. People aren't
that
figuring
would cut the
into
revenue
their...
as well as the profit,
right?
In other words,
Well, and also make it hard to understand how many units were actually sold of each. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, can you make any projections at all about how well they're selling? Well, they're not selling well.
Right.
That would be one projection
from a scale from 1 to 10, where 1 is really crappy and 10 is great. It's like a negative 17. No, I don't. I don't think it's fair to say. I mean, there's a lot going on here that I think people have jumped to conclusions. You know, people are saying, oh, now they're going to get rid of Windows RT. You know, this is a guarantee. Like, Surface RT is dead. You know, Microsoft spent 5 years, 6 years on Zune. They have spent over a decade on Xbox. These things are... essentially, or were in the case of Zune, investments in Surface RT, or Surface, I should say, is a lot more important to Microsoft's core than, say, Zune ever was. And so,
although you might at this point kind of pull the plug on RT and just focus on Surface Pro,
they're not going to do that.
Maybe. They're not going to do that. Not going to have it.
I don't think so.
No.
I really don't think they're going to do that. I think.
Too bad
they
didn't spend more money advertising it, because, you know, if people only knew.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's the other number we found out this week, right?
Sure.
Windows sales and marketing expenses rose $1 billion
in
the last fiscal year.
Rose $1 billion. That's why
they weren't $1 billion. They were plus $1 billion.
Right.
Yeah, that's why that says the sound you're hearing is, you know, at least $2 billion. We don't actually know the total. This is the point.
Holy moly.
It rose at least $1 billion. I mean, you might say, okay, but maybe half of that was Surface, half of it was just pure Windows 8, or, you know, maybe the mix.
I don't know. I'm thinking about all the ads I saw. They were all the click, 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 damp, 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 boop, beep, beep. They were all Surface ads, right? Weren't they? I don't remember a lot of non-Surface ads.
A lot of them were. In subways in New York.
Oh, then there's the Bing ads. They did those ads, the Bing challenge. They spent a lot of money on those, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they spent a lot.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that's occurred, of course, is that, you know, at some point in the distant past, Microsoft obviously did some kind of math on the back of a napkin where they said, look, we're going to harm our PC maker partnerships in some way, obviously, by competing with them. At what point does that make sense and so forth? You don't have to look very hard today to see that HP just announced something that looks exactly like an Ultrabook, except that it runs Android.
Wow.
You know, all of their partners are... hedging their bets is not the right way to put it, but they're releasing a variety of product types. You see Chromebooks in the market, and you see different things happening. And so Microsoft is not really in a position, I don't think, where they can say, we were just kidding with Surface. Sorry about that. Come on back to the fold. I mean, I think they're kind of in this for the long haul. I don't, a lot of people see these numbers and they think, oh, this is the end of that and nice experiment. But I don't know. I don't see it that way.
No. And I don't think they're going to just throw the towel in, like after spending all this time to port. We forget sometimes how long it took them to port Windows to ARM. It took them, they've been doing this for maybe 6-7 years, right? And part of the reason they care so much about this is ultimately, you know, we talked about this a long time ago. The desktop's not going away in the near term, right, on Windows 8. But Microsoft's goal is to get everyone to write Metro-style apps. And ultimately, at some point, they want the desktop to go away. And so their bet for that is Windows RT. That's kind of like the platform where they're testing that ground. How is that going to work? It's where they really can control all the inputs. I think this is going to stick around for sure.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get better with the next version and the next version and the next version.
Right. Well, it will. I think it's fair to say it will get better. There's no doubt that the hardware, the software, the services, everything will be better. And I've heard, you know, you hear these stories. I brought this up before on this show where I think people, maybe this is just a general human condition, but certainly in the Windows community or in the Windows fan base, you know, people always look to this next thing that happens. You know, Windows 8.1 will come and it will solve all our problems, or Haswell's going to come and it's going to solve all our problems, you know. And I've heard this story where people said that, well, Microsoft, when they were designing Windows 8, expected that Bay Trail would be out by the time Windows 8 shipped and that Haswell would be out. And it was kind of aiming for that. And so when these things do happen, you know, the versions of those Surface devices and the Windows 8 devices we see from partners are going to be so much better, and that's going to solve all the problems. And I really don't think that it's that simple. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do think that those things will all be better and will contribute to some better news or whatever. But, you know, it's a little flip, and I don't mean it that way, but you could look at this Surface thing as an investment, essentially. I mean, it is an investment in the future. And it's absolutely fair to say that I don't think they expected it to work out this way. Certainly, they didn't have built, you know, more machines than they could actually sell on purpose.
I was going to say, one thing I think that they misestimated, because I've been talking to a lot of people about, you know, was it just that they made too many, and how did they get it so wrong? And you know what I think they were counting on? I think they were counting on selling more Surfaces through online. But if you look at the Surface device, it's something you really need to kick the tires and try it and feel it and hold it to get it. And I think, you know, they just saw, hey, Apple sells a ton of iPads online, so we're going to sell a ton of Surfaces online, right? I don't think it worked out that way, right?
But Apple was selling a ton of something else before they had an iPad. I mean, Microsoft came into this kind of blind. And, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into this. Mary Jo and I both live and die on this stuff and maybe spend too much time thinking about this stuff. But one other theme that's come up, I think, again and again, is this notion that Microsoft, I think, puts a little too much into the notion that Windows is this really strong brand. They think that it's like Windows everything. All you got to do is throw Windows on it, and that's what's going to make it successful. And it wouldn't surprise me to discover that part of the thinking behind Surface and behind these Windows devices in general, Windows 8 and RT, was that it's Windows, and people are going to flock to it because it's Windows. And that's how we're going to get people back from Android, and how we're going to get people back from iPad, is all we have to do is do Windows. And honestly, there's not a heck of a lot of evidence to suggest that Windows is, in fact, such a great brand. Although, God, they'll throw the name Windows on anything, you know.
Yeah, I think Windows is a much bigger brand outside the U.S., so I think that you have to factor that in. You know, here a lot of people say, oh, Windows, it's an old brand, and I don't think that there's a lot of evidence to say that's true, or a brand that needs to be dumped or retired. But overseas, Windows has a lot more cachet than here in many, many countries. So we can't just discount that either, right?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Back to Surface. I think the plan is, well, they've said very explicitly, we're not dumping Surface RT. We're going to make more of them. And we're definitely not dumping
Windows
RT.
Whether you want them or not.
Wow. You know, when you take a $900 million loss on a product and then say, but don't worry, we're going to make more of them. If I were a shareholder, I might, you know, have some qualms about that.
Yep.
Really? You're going to make more of them? Yeah. Well, that's certainly justified by the demand.
Sure.
Well, I think
why?
If you make more of them, maybe in smaller screen sizes, like at the 8-inch
well,
size.
Well, that's what I want to hear. And that's what I'm sure investors want to hear. Well, what are you going to do to make it palatable?
Make it better, yeah.
Make it better, because it clearly wasn't good enough before.
Yeah.
Or wasn't. Right. Let's not say that, because you know what? You could say it was good. It wasn't what consumers wanted for whatever reason. And you can't blame a lack of marketing.
Surface RT, I understand why that didn't sell. Surface in general, Surface Pro specifically, and by which I mean just the quality of the hardware, the design of the devices, you know, the little kickstand and the click thing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they really did do a good job. Of course, this is the conversation we might have had around, you know, the Zune HD as well, where, you know.
Yeah, the Zune HD was great.
It was such a beautiful hardware device, just an absolute.
But they were in a market that was owned by Apple at that point, and it was too late. I don't know if you could say that. I mean, they own the Windows market. It's not like they don't own the Windows market.
Yeah, but they want more than... I mean, obviously, they want to extend that.
Is it fair to say that the OEM's versions of Surface RT or Windows RT and Windows Pro beat them? They didn't sell better, did they?
No, I think worse. No,
and, yeah, and by the way, there are good third-party devices, of course, but most of them aren't that great. Most of them are kind of cheap, plasticky kind of things. Most of them aren't really notable in any way. You know, Lenovo had some nice stuff. People point to that Asus VivoTab, although, by the way, they're exiting that market. You know, people will point to a couple of devices. You know, the Samsung ATIV devices were terrible. Some of the Acer devices were good. Some of them were not so good, obviously. I don't think there's a single device that stands up to the quality level of a Surface. Yeah, it's hard to explain why that. I mean, they have one device, you know, so you kind of discount the RT. RT is not selling. Nobody wants RT. Okay, fine. And then you've got the Surface Pro that basically starts at $1,000. It's kind of a tough mix. You know, if the Surface RT was, you know, maybe a Clover Trail device, or if they had an 8-inch, 7-inch, whatever device that was running RT even, you know, maybe that would have been a smarter mix.
Yeah. And maybe if the chip had been different, or maybe the ads or the distribution, there's like so many what ifs we can say now, you know, like what if they had done this, sure. Right? And I don't know. I think a big part of it was, you know, the
you
problem.
Do you really think, do you think it's the ads? I'm curious about that. I mean, because this comes up a lot.
I do. I think the ads, I think the iPad ads that they have out now are very, very good. And I think they should have made those their ads. And the click-in ads, I think people just didn't know what to make of them, or even know what they were selling in those ads with the dancing schoolgirls. And
they're very proud of the clicking.
I know.
Yeah. It's funny because I would say just from a functional standpoint, you've created a device that is very elegant. I mean, I want to be very clear about that. They're a very high quality device, but it's also one at which the you know, the screen angle is one angle. You can, it's engaged at whatever angle it is, and the keyboard is now attached. There's no way to use it detached from the machine, and you've sort of forced a way of working on people there.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, some people, I think, look at that and they think, yes, this is exactly what I want. Based on the numbers we're seeing, not enough of those people, by the way. But, you know, it's such a weird combination of constraints and, you know, obvious Apple influences, where they're trying to do that Apple thing where, you know, it has one USB port because we don't want to mess it up with a lot of holes, you know. When in fact, you know, the thing, it's pragmatic almost for a Windows device, you know, for a PC.
Yeah.
I'm disappearing into the fog.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. Should we call you? Do you want us to call you back real quickly?
Yeah, you can do that.
Can you turn on a light? So what were we in the middle of when I so rudely interrupted? We were just wrapping up the discussion.
I think we were dancing on Surface's grave or something. I don't know.
Like schoolgirls.
I feel weird about it because Surface doesn't suck. You know, that's the thing that's what bothers me.
Right.
But Paul, you and Mary Jo and I have been around long enough to know that it is not the great product necessarily that survives. It used to be, the cant used to be, you know, the best product wins. No, it's never been that way. We've seen many a great product die.
Huh? What a world that would be. The best product.
Yeah, in fact, to think even that that's a possibility is pretty naive.
Sure.
I mean, Betamax was better than VHS. HD DVD was better than Blu-ray. OS 2 was better than
Windows. People used to say that.
The BOS was better than Macintosh. I mean, you can go on and on and on with stuff that we loved. Amiga. Say no more.
Right,
say
now you're
no
going to make me cry.
Yeah. So it doesn't. It's not a reflection. I mean, you might get some arguments about the quality of Surface RT, but it certainly doesn't mean it was it's a technical failure. Yeah. If people don't buy it,
I think there were just so many things converging. Like, you know, the fact they weren't distributing it broadly. They started out being very narrow in their distribution. Remember, they were like really curtailing it. Only Microsoft stores. Then it was like a couple other stores can take it. And internationally, it's like pretty much been hard to find. I mean, especially because there are no Microsoft stores outside the U.S. other than Canada. So that's a big factor, too, that we haven't really talked a whole lot about. It's just the distribution constraints. I mean,
even
now
that there's a world outside of the United States.
Yeah, surprise. And you know, now they're starting to allow some of the large like distributors to carry it. Some of the big, really big, like I forget what they call them, value-added distributors. Like the Ingram Micros and those kind of guys.
Oh, okay.
Right, but regular resellers who you would think Microsoft's feet on the street, right? They aren't letting them carry them.
Like Newegg and people like that.
Yeah. You know, just your everyday reseller who already sells
Tiger
things
Direct.
Like Exchange. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that would have
helped it too, I think.
Coincidentally, I went into a Best Buy the day before we flew out here. And what used to be the tablet section in Best Buy is now the Microsoft Surface section. And clearly it's becoming the, you know, the Microsoft store within a store. Clearly that's what's happening. Yeah. And they took the tablets because remember they some time ago, a year ago or more, they switched the PC section over to tablets. And, of course, there weren't that many tablets. So they had like Amazon Kindles. They had weird e-books. They had random, you know, Android tablets and things like that. And so that stuff has actually kind of moved out. And now it's over where the smartphones are. So the tablets, like Android tablets and smartphones, are together. Obviously, the Apple stuff is kind of with the Apple stuff. Samsung has their own little crazy kiosk. And now Microsoft has the makings of their you know, what we know to be the Microsoft store within a store. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really kind of a strange thing when you think about it, because you're going to go into Best Buy, and instead of this kind of crazy diversity that you used to see, you're going to have very, you know, concentrated areas of very specific product types now. And hopefully that benefits Microsoft. I guess we'll see. But it's kind of shaping up to be, you know, at least in the store I go to, you know, there's been an Apple mini section there for a while. There's a Samsung one that came in, you know, some months ago. There's a Microsoft one that will be coming in sometime soon. And then there's everything else. You know, and like those are kind of the four areas. It's like the Wild West and then these.
Yeah. Yeah.
Free brand.
Yeah. I know. It's a little crazy. Yeah. I went back and looked. So the people who are allowed to carry Surfaces right now are these larger distributors like CDW, PC Connection, SoftMart, SoftChoice.
But they don't sell direct. Some of them do. PC Connection does. But mostly sell, you know, into stores, right?
But I think they also sell services attached to things, right? I think that's part of the deal, aren't they?
They do.
So they sell extended warranties.
Kitting, asset tagging, custom imaging, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, you know, it's really weird that they still aren't letting their regular mom and pop resellers, you know, and even some of their large account resellers sell these, you know, directly to customers. They're not allowed to.
Of course they will, right? And when they do, they'll announce it like this was always part of the plan. Like, you know, as part of our ongoing efforts to expand the distribution of Surface, Microsoft announced today that blah, 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 blah. I mean, you could write the press release in your head right now. It's you know it's going to happen.
It is.
But it's so weird. But they do this kind of staged thing. You know, it's like we're not aware of a system by which PCs are sold, so we thought we would reinvent the, you know. I mean, it's like, guys, this is something that happens every day, you know, all around the world.
Right. And it would make more sense if you had a shortage of Surfaces, right? If there weren't enough of them, you'd say, let's constrain distribution.
If only they could make enough, you know.
But this is not the case.
No.
Yeah.
No. Are they perishable or something? I don't understand.
I think part of it, and somebody in the chat room observed this, and I think it's probably true, part of it is the confusion. It's a brand. There's a brand confusion. That it hurts you pretty badly. And I think once people hear the phrase, Windows RT will not run Windows apps, there is this, it's just like, well, then it's not Windows. And it hurts every part of the brand to have this incompatible Windows.
I actually loaned a Surface Pro to a friend recently, and I sold him, I'll set this thing up for you and blah, 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 because he's thinking about getting a tablet. He likes Windows. He wants to get a Windows tablet. And I said, well, this is, you know, kind of the best one right now, but why don't you see what you think about it? I'm curious. I was curious to see what he said about it. But when he came to pick it up, he actually said, this isn't that thing that they're discontinuing, right? Like, are you giving me this, like, piece of junk that nobody wants?
Oh, wow.
And it was like, no, but that's not an entirely accurate description of the other thing. And there's a normal guy who doesn't really know a lot about the computer industry, and that's what he thinks about it, or what he's, you know, maybe heard, I don't know, from a newspaper or the nightly news or whatever it is. And the other aspect of this thing where people don't know what Surface is or Surface RT or what the capabilities are is, you know, once you get the stink of death on you a little bit, you know, that becomes a problem too. You know, they're going to fight to make the Surface brand successful, but, you know, here we are less than a year from the launch, and there's already a really big black mark going on here. And this is going to be a tough thing to recover from. Like, slow sales are one thing, but, you know, a nearly $1 billion write-off, and then, you know, billions more now that they've revealed they've spent. Yeah, it's kind of a tough one.
So somebody here in the notes says maybe they should say make Windows Phone be the RT and just eliminate that ARM version of Windows.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be clearer. Then you'd be going up. You say, look, it'll run everything Windows Phone does, and if you want Windows, that's
a semi-rhetorical point because they're not going to do this. But no. But the distinction I was trying to draw was that, and this is something that goes back to something I probably wrote a year ago where I talked about this notion that, you know, Windows 8 and RT are this kind of mishmash of things. It's the old desktop operating system and this new mobile OS. And, you know, maybe the mobile OS is something that needs to stand alone. And, you know, maybe Windows is something that we use on PCs. And that, thank you. And that...
is that your beer delivery? What does that mean?
Yeah, I got an alcohol delivery.
Hello, La Chouf Man is here.
Yeah.
Put a pfennig in the jar, and I will leave you the beer. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking. I was thinking about ironically referring to him as Señor Schlesuf. But anyway, the point is, you know, maybe Windows is something that needs to be on these productivity machines, and that for a purely consumption device, that it's not so much specifically Windows Phone, you know, the thing that we now think of as Windows Phone, but that this thing becomes more of a purer environment that doesn't have Desktop Plus Metro, and that maybe it's more consumption focused.
ASUS killing RT? Is that the beginning of the OEMs the plug?
I'm pretty sure everyone who adopted RT has dropped it. The possible exception is Dell. Do we know if Dell has dropped RT?
I don't know. Let me go and see if I can buy it.
Yeah. I don't think they have. I think you're okay. Right. Maybe every other
Lenovo
OEM
has.
Yeah, Dell still.
You know, Lenovo came out with this great little device called a Yoga 1111, the 11-inch Yoga.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. But it ran RT, the first one.
Right.
And I remember looking at this and thinking, you know, this would be perfect if it ran, you know, Windows 8. And now they have a version of the 11S.
It's really nice. We just reviewed it, and it's really sweet.
It's a great little machine.
Yeah. $299 for Dell's XPS 10 running Windows RT. It's $299.
So
bucks.
There you go.
Market value, $450. Dell price, $300.
The market value
is...
why would you sell something for under the market value?
Yeah, way under the market. Less than half the market. Or no, a little more than half the market value. Yeah. So that kind of tells you something, huh?
That's funny.
But you know, Paul, do you remember, I don't remember when you wrote this. You wrote an article saying you had a tip that Microsoft was projecting that it was going to be making like 50% or more of all the Windows RT machines by this year. Is that right?
No, it was. I think it was by the end of this coming fiscal year. But I'll have to go look at that myself. I don't remember off the top of my head. But
yeah.
I don't actually think it was RT. I think it was Windows. It was just Windows. And by the way, that goes back, if you think about something I said earlier, where they've kind of damaged their relationships with OEMs. I mean, this is the crazy new world we could be moving into where, you know, there are Microsoft stores where you buy PCs, or you go to a Best Buy and there's a store within a store where you buy PCs, and those PCs are made by Microsoft, you know.
Yeah.
It is such a screwy change from the way things were just a year or two ago. And I mean, my God, I hate to even say it like this, but for all those people that say, you know, all that Microsoft ever does is copy Apple, I mean, come on. Like, this is kind of obviously that model.
They should have copied Apple. Maybe that was this
they
is the one
to copy
time.
The sales part.
Copy Apple's sales at least.
It's such a weird thing. Yeah.
You know, what's also interesting is that everybody, you know, Microsoft was the first software company to make this big, bold push into hardware. Now Google's doing it. You know, it really is interesting to see that it's this new world is very, it's very different. You can't be just a PC company or just a software company. Apple's always said that you can't, if you want the software to sing, you have to make the hardware.
Right.
And maybe that's the lesson Microsoft learned, but not yet so well. Although somebody in the chat room said, hey, everybody gives Apple time to perfect their products. Give Microsoft some time. This is their first computer.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, you know, Microsoft or Apple have released a non-Retina iPad mini last year that probably has sold.
Did pretty good.
50 million units or something. I don't know.
Like, yeah, it did. In a quarter. I mean, in a quarter.
So we can complain that this thing is kind of a piece of junk compared to the competition or whatever, but it's selling really well. So, yeah, I hear that argument, but you got to kind of, you know, walk the walk.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, we've said this before on shows, too, but we know, so we kind of have heard some tips and hints about what's coming next for Surface. At the partner conference, Microsoft officials said out in front of everybody, this wasn't a secret, that there's going to be an updated version of RT and an updated version of Surface Pro coming out in fiscal 2014. Now, we don't know what that means exactly. We don't know if it's like same body, new chip, a whole different unit, something altogether different, like an 8-inch size. We don't know what that means, but there is definitely going to be a refresh of some sort of both.
So let them perfect it. Let them perfect it.
Right. Right. So this is going to happen sometime.
Leave Microsoft alone.
Give them a break.
The next one's going to do it. It will be fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old joke is it takes them three tries to get
things
right. So this will be try two coming up.
I hate to repeat it because I don't think it's always true, but it has often been the case that you don't want a 1.0 of something from Microsoft. You know what? You could replace Microsoft with almost any company.
You may not want a 1.0 of almost anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and we also believe this year, this fiscal year, which ends on June 30th, 2014, sometime in this fiscal year, they're also going to have probably a keyboard with a battery in it, right? We've heard they're working on that. Maybe a dock, even though they've publicly said they weren't going to make one. Maybe they've changed their mind. So we know these things are kind of floating around and could come out this year, the new peripherals, new, as they call them, new Surface accessories. We just don't know the exact timing or what they're going to cost or what they're going to look like. But we know they're in the works, or at least have very strong belief these are in the works.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
So I'm take it as written. Microsoft's not giving up. Full speed ahead. Damn the torpedoes. And maybe there's something they can do here. I do think that the part of the problem and that Microsoft needs to address is this confusion over what is Windows. Because you have three incompatible platforms named Windows.
Is it
possible to at some point unify that? Remember, they did this once before. They had the same problem with NT and Windows 98, and they knew it was a problem, and they joined them together with XP.
They always talk about this and how important it is to have the one thing, but I mean, there's always been like 27 versions of Windows. There's always going to be embedded versions and auto versions. And,
but compatibility is the issue, isn't it? That I can buy a piece of software and know it's going to run on my Windows device. Isn't that the... I mean, look, Google doesn't have that. They've got Chrome OS and Android. Apple doesn't have that. They have iOS and OS X. As much as they say iOS is OS X, it ain't.
Yep.
So I guess it's not...
We're getting there. It's like baby steps. But at least they're taking them on the unification, right? Like the cores are the same now.
It is all the same kernel now. System. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they call it the core now, right? So the graphic stacks, the networking, like that core element is the same on Windows Phone, on Windows 8, on Windows RT, and it's going to be the same on Xbox One also. So they're getting there with that. The part that they still have a ways to go is on the developer tools and the APIs. They're not exactly the same. So you can't run... You know, you can't just take an app you built for Windows Phone and run it on Xbox. It doesn't work like that. Right. You know, the resolutions are different, the screen sizes are different, and the APIs are different. But they're getting closer, and so I think people need to know they're making progress on that.
Yeah. Shall we move on, ladies and gentlemen? Windows. By the way, this is August 1st. 8 one. Nah, okay. Just thought I'd say something about it. This is Windows.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, you didn't even know what I was talking about. Okay.
I just it got
this
it.
This is Windows Weekly 8.1.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was a rumored date for a while that when they might RTM.
Wouldn't it be perfect?
Windows 8.1. Right?
They didn't, though, did they?
No. By the way, that was the plan.
Yep.
And the news I've heard is that it would be shocking if they even finished it this month. So we'll see how it goes.
They have to finish it this month, I think. They've
sure.
already said they've said yep. OEM's getting it in.
They sure have.
I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to RTM this month. The question we still don't know, and that's going to be really interesting, is so once they RTM it, when do we get it? Users, yep. Windows 8 users. Like, are they going to make us right. wait till a launch date, or are they going to actually say, okay, it RTM,
no,
here it is.
This is easy to figure out. So logically speaking, it's a web release. It's something they could put up on the server very easily. We could have it day and date. We're talking about Microsoft here. There's no way that's going to happen. So there's your answer. You know what I mean? Like, it's clearly right. that could happen very easily.
I know.
Is that going to happen? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I know. So let's see.
This is why I need to take a week off right here.
You're not doing a very good job of it.
Instantly cynical, I get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Windows 8 share creeping up by 0.3% in July. That's good news. There's something to say.
Let's do some math. If you have 0% market share and you grow 0.3% every month for a year, how much market share do you have at the end of the year?
What's 0.3% compounded monthly?
It's like compounding interest on a savings account these days, right? Because it's basically the same.
You're just fighting to keep up with inflation.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not winning that battle. It's just...
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So net applications data is out for July, and Windows 8 is now at 5.4% share, which is
that's kind of stunningly low for something that's been out a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, but yes and no. So actually, here's some math we could do very easily. In fact, I'll do it right now. Actually, I can't do this math in my head. So.
He's getting a napkin now. He's going to do it on a napkin.
Wait a minute. Calculator. Here, let's do Wolfram Alpha. Just tell me what the problem is and we can calculate it. Wolfram Alpha can do anything.
1.5 billion.
Yeah.
Times point. Well, it would be 0.3% is 0.003. Jesus. All right. This is going to be like a single digit. All right, let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
You want okay, wait. Let me ask the Google to do this one. What was is 1.8 billion you said?
No, 1.5. Was 1.5 the most recent number Microsoft used?
What is 3% of 1.5 billion?
Is the 1.5 billion the number of licenses
I'm sorry.
That's 45 million, according to...
No, that's the wrong. It's wrong. I'm sorry. It's the 5.4 number is what we need.
So what do you want?
It's 0.054 or whatever that number was, right? It's what's 5.4% of 1.5 billion or whatever the number
What's 5.4% of 1.5 billion? It's
zero.
Even Google couldn't figure that out.
Siri says it's zero, Paul.
Right.
What's 5.4% of 1.5 billion? Now, see, it doesn't like the 5.4%.
Well, what's 5%?
Okay, I could do that. What's 5% of 1.5 billion? It'd be a lot easier.
Is it like 75 million or something?
1.5 billion is 75 million.
Yeah. So 75, look at me doing math in my head like an adult.
Anyway,
All right. So let's say it's 80 million.
I actually could have done that too if I had just thought instead of using the computer.
Sure.
Okay.
So, here are my brain works. That's nice. So, is the Windows 8 user base actual number of users? Is it really that small? Like 80?
Wow. Sounds
80
small.
Million users? That's small.
That's small.
Could be.
I mean, compared to the normal Windows universe, which is massive.
Well, I mean, remember the 20 million a month run rate. And remember that actual run rate based on the sales over the past two quarters went down to 13, 14 million. Imagine that 50% of those were Windows 7 licenses,
Ooh.
Not Windows 8, right?
If
you kind of do the math on that from October through July or whatever we're at now, That may actually make sense from a math standpoint. That may be how you arrive at that number. And there you go. So say 7, 8 million, I don't know how many months. So 7 months plus 3 is 10 months. Yeah, 80 million. There you go. 80 million. There are 80 million people using Windows 8. That is actually a reasonable number given
4 months worth.
No, 10 months worth.
Right. But I'm just saying that would be 4 months worth of Windows 7.
Which, by the way, I think benefited from some hazy math.
Counts. 20 million was a little too consistent.
It's a little too consistent. But yeah. And Microsoft is a little more transparent now, but that kind of thing. But okay. But you see how that kind of makes sense, right? That it gives you a sort of a picture of how many of those licenses that get sold were probably to volume license customers that did, in fact, deploy 7 into the world, not 8. Right. Because they were doing it to existing computers. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it in that way, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's low. It's lower than you want it to be, but it's reasonable.
Hey, I'd be happy with 81 million viewers for this show. Be happy.
Sure.
Hey, real sure, quickly but, before
but,
we...
But all 80 million of those people are wondering why there isn't a native Facebook app.
Yeah. It's so funny when you talk these numbers... Because the success of Microsoft is so massive, so utterly massive, yeah. that 81 million could be disappointing is really kind of amazing.
Hey, before Windows 8 launched, Microsoft was still using out-of-date IDC numbers that were saying that, you know, in the next year, and it was kind of a nebulous year, but the next year, you know, there are going to be 400 million licenses of Windows sold to the world. Wow. And that sounds great. That has never happened and is never going to happen. It's closer to 300. It's 300 and something million. But you can see that in 9-10 months in the market, really, realistically speaking, in a diminished market, really, it looks like about half of those licenses are Windows 8, are actually resulting in Windows 8 usage.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
So. Yep. Yeah, I can't wait to write another Windows 8 book. That's
great. It's going to be huge, Paul. Huge.
Yeah, you know, the other two numbers we should talk about in this new net applications data, though. Windows 7 share is 45%. So, 45. Yeah, that's huge compared to 5% for Windows
8. Not quite 700 million people, right, or users or whatever.
Right, and XP, 37% still.
Yikes.
Yep. And you know, the XP end of life is next year.
Is that really, is that right? So you're 600, is that, could be 40, you said 40, yep. Almost 40%.
Yep, 40% 37%
on XP. Yep. Is 600 million people using an operating system that is 12 years old.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yep. Still kicking.
Still kicking. Hey, we're going to take a break and come back. We have much more to talk about. Paul Thurrott is in Amsterdam. He's not in Stockholm, even though he looks like he's in somebody's basement. But
I think it looks like I'm in a nuclear sub.
He could be, for all we know. For all we know. He is joining us via Amsterdam, via Skype from Amsterdam. Mary Jo Foley from New York City. More with Windows Weekly in just a bit. We were going to mention, I was going to do a special on the Motorola X till I looked more carefully at my contract with them, my NDA, and they said I can't reveal anything till midnight Eastern tonight. However, I can point to a Motorola page where they have revealed everything.
Really?
So, yeah. Thanks so much.
That's funny.
Thanks so much, Motorola. People are skydiving, so they're showing that it can be customized in a variety of colors. It will be assembled. We knew this in Texas. And after you customize it, will be available to you, shipped within 4 days.
So hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. But does this thing like have a thing on the back that says designed in South Korea and then like assembled in the United States? Because that would be hilarious.
Wouldn't that be funny? We actually, when we talked to him, we said you should put an American flag on it. There is some, you are going to be able to do some engraving on the back of it. And it would be cool if you could get an American flag. He took that note. Lots of color choices. Wear it well, Kemosabe, it says here. This is all on the Motorola page. Motorola X subtly pulses with the alerts you really need so you can decide when something is important enough to respond to. Touch each other, not phones. Moto X responds to your voice, no touching necessary. That's the always on, always listening feature that was rumored.
Nothing creepy about that.
Never ever, like ever, miss a shot. You'll never. They're obviously aiming at young people here. You'll never take a picture in the same way again. You'll never miss those. OMG, that was sick. Did you see that moment again either? I'm not sure how that happens. And now a message for our tech geeks, and they are putting out the specs here. So 4.7-inch 720p AMOLED screen. It will weigh 130 grams. 2,200 milliamp hour battery. That's pretty small for a phone of that size. Typical, I should say. Talk time, though, they're claiming up to 13 hours. Mixed usage up to 24 hours. 10-megapixel clear pixel camera. That was a technology Kodak invented and apparently being incorporated into the Moto X. 1080p video at 30 frames. A 2-megapixel front-facing camera. It will run Android 4.2.2, not the most recent, and they confirmed that it is running the X8 CPU architecture, which is in the Droids they announced last week. That's a really interesting, in addition to the quad-core S4 Pro ARM chip, they've got dual DSP chips, which will apparently do a lot of the voice recognition. They'll have 16 and 32 gig versions. You will get 50 gigs of Google Drive with it, Bluetooth 4.0 LE and EDR. Wi-Fi all the way up to AC, and it looks like, based on the bands, a broad variety of carriers. There are radios now that can do all the carriers. In fact, they put that in the Nexus 7. So there you go. That's what Motorola is now revealing on its website about the Moto X. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more with Paul and Mary Jo, but first a word about our box of awesome, the folks... I love the name. The folks at Bespoke Post. Every month you get a box of awesome. And if you visit bespokepost.com/twit, you can sign up and get 20% off your first box. There are some really beautiful. Browse around on the bespoke page. You can see the different varieties of bespoke boxes. Curated boxes worth $45. Actually, they cost $45. They're always worth more. You can, of course, look at the box ahead of time and cancel it. It's a great gift. One box, $45. Three boxes, $135. I think for the man in your life, the six-box gift is de rigueur, $270. And remember, you're going to get 20% off that first box. Take a look, bespokepost.com/twit. Windows Weekly on the air. Paul Thurrott in Amsterdam. Mary Jo Foley in New York. We're talking about the latest from Microsoft and elsewhere. And good news for Android users. And I ain't talking Moto X. I was really miffed, though. So Microsoft's released Office Mobile.
Yep.
But it doesn't run on my Nexus 7 tablet. It's only for the phones. Is there a technical reason for that? Or is it they don't want to cannibalize?
Not a technical reason.
Yeah.
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 It's like, you know, when they announced the Office Mobile for iPhone just about a month ago, this is for phones, not for iPads. And, you know, people were saying, oh, can I run it if I go 2X, you know, and some, there are some actual like limitations that Microsoft's put on it. So you can't run it on your iPads. So I think you're seeing that here too, right? I mean, I think the reason is, and I don't know. We don't know this for a fact still, but I mean, I bet there is going to be a version for tablets, right? Office for tablets coming. And this is not that. And I think they're delaying that a bit, maybe till even next year to try to help the Surface. You know, how would it look right now if Microsoft's like out there allowing Office to run on iPads and Android tablets? And this is one of their big selling points for the Surface, right? Is that you have Office on it.
Yeah.
So I think they're being very careful to try to give Surface a little bit of a head start before they end up possibly coming out with a tablet version of Office for iPad and Android tablets.
Somebody said they've sideloaded the Nexus on the Nexus 7.
This.
It does work.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the way Android tablets work, very different from iOS tablets. Everything resizes.
Yeah.
So
there's
no reason. I use a lot of non-tablet software on the Nexus 7. It's fine.
Yeah. Sure. But you have to, again, like just like the case with the iPhone version of Office Mobile, you have to subscribe to Office 365 to get this.
Right.
If So that's the catch.
It doesn't count against your installs, right?
Well, right. They have two sets of installs now.
Right.
Right? Mobile installs and PC Mac installs.
Yep.
Which tied into what... I'm sorry, yep. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if you want to put it on your phones, you can install, if you have an Office 365 subscription, you can put it on up to 5 iPhones and or Android phones. And your Windows phones don't count against your total. So because you have Office Mobile there too. And so that's how they get you. They say you can have it on 5 PC, up to 5 PCs and or Macs, plus on up to 5 iPhones and or Android phones.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's good. That's fine then.
Yeah. I mean, it gives you a lot.
That's a lot. I mean, who has 5 phones?
Yeah. Family might, right?
Well, actually, you're right. 5 tablets. But, you know, families. Oh, yeah. All right. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, this is the question, though. As interesting as this is, it's Office Mobile. You know, is this expected tablet version for iPad and Android going to, and of course the Metro version for Windows, is this going to be something we consider full Office, or is this going to be a glorified, bigger version of Office Mobile? Obviously, if it's the former, those uses would go against the PC count, right? What we think of PC Mac today. If it's just Office Mobile, you know, it would go against the mobile count. But I'm kind of hoping that the reason they're waiting is because they want to put out the Metro version first and have that, or even simultaneously, and then have this iPad and Android tablet version that's more full featured than what these things are. Because the mobile apps are cute and they're fine, and they're the kind of level of functionality you would want and expect on a phone, but they're not the level of functionality you want and expect on a tablet. And I'm hoping that the tablet versions, whatever they are and whenever they appear, are something better.
Right. Yeah, because on the phone version, you can do like light editing and you can do viewing, but mm-hmm. It's definitely not meant, or who would even want to like create a gigantic Excel spreadsheet on your phone. You probably don't want to do that, right?
But you could.
You could.
I'm going to open my window.
Wow. This is...
Oh, we could see where your hand's going like, gee. Yeah.
Sorry.
Like Paul was raising the portcullis.
Yeah, so hopefully, again, Microsoft's never acknowledged publicly, right, that there's going to be a tablet version, an iPad version of Office.
Oh,
they've
my
never
God. Are you okay?
Are you okay over there? Sounds like something hit you on the head.
Oh, no, I coughed.
Oh, all right.
Oh, sounded like the shade fell and hit you.
No. I can't get the shade to go up. There we go.
It's like you're raising the sail on the boat.
Okay. Sorry about
there.
That.
No problem.
The sun is now down behind the trees, so it's...
it's a beautiful
Yeah,
beautiful
so we don't
day.
Know if for sure there is going to be these long-rumored Office for iPad, Office for Android tablets. People claim they've seen them for years, like a couple years ago, right. I think there was a sighting. But we don't know for sure because Microsoft's never said, yes, this is coming or when. So we're assuming it's going to be another Office 365 kind of deal where it's going to count against some kind of a total and you'll have to subscribe to get those as well. Right.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. This is such a sad story. So, Sky TV, Rupert Murdoch's Sky TV, which is a big, big satellite broadcaster in Britain. They have B Sky B, and apparently they've trademarked everything with the word Sky in it.
Yep.
And remind me again, Sky is what we might call a fairly general term.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sky.
So Microsoft, they sued Microsoft over the term SkyDrive.
Yep.
In July, the England and Wales High Court found it had infringed on British Sky Broadcasting. And Microsoft has just announced yesterday, we're not going to fight it. We're going to rebrand SkyDrive.
When did Microsoft turn into France in 1940? You know what I mean? Like they just give up all the time now.
Yeah.
I don't understand what happened.
Well, maybe they,
you know, first
maybe they thought
first
they couldn't
did it with
win.
Metro.
I mean, is it conceivable they thought they couldn't win?
Yeah. And that they might spend a lot of money trying to do it and they would end up losing. That could be. Or some people have been speculating there's talks between the Sky TV and the Xbox division, and that Microsoft wanted to play nice because they want to have deals with them for the Xbox One for content. That's I've seen a couple people speculating that.
Why is it always Microsoft that plays nice? You know, why couldn't Sky license this to them?
I know.
You know, they don't have a cloud computing storage solution. I mean, what's...
Well, they did. Do you know about this? They had a cloud-based storage service called Sky Store and Share, which they closed in December 2011. But in their court case, the Sky TV people claimed that they were getting help calls for SkyDrive.
This is awesome.
I know. It was getting calls from people who didn't know SkyDrive wasn't owned by BSkyB. So,
by the way, if you haven't done this, I strongly, in fact, do this after you drink a little bit of alcohol. Go and read the ruling. It is hilarious. And there is a line in there. Well, actually, there are many lines in there where they've actually surveyed people and they said, did you confuse these two brands? And of course, these guys all were like, yeah, I saw Sky. Of course, I thought of, you know, Sky, of Sky TV because I live in the UK, in the smallest freaking province of the EU. And yes, this, for some reason, this is important, you know. But there's this great quote where someone says, the judge says, people assume that SkyDrive was a Sky TV brand and that such people should not be regarded as especially unobservant or lacking in circumspectness. Isn't that fantastic? And then they have all these great quotes from people on the street. And one guy said, it would confuse me, actually. The Sky made me think of the Sky TV package. Because that's how simplistic we are. I can't see the word Sky and not think of this one brand. Even though these two things don't compete in any way, shape, or form. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So read the ruling. It's hilarious, that's like funny. I said. But I do have a theory about why they settled so quickly. And it goes something like this, that Microsoft's lawyers and Sky's lawyers got in a room and Microsoft's lawyers said, we're going to take
the court. Oh, you're breaking up again.
Hold on, you're breaking up.
You know, this is ridiculous.
We may never know Paul's theory. And that's my theory, says Paul Theron.
That was a good theory.
Can you repeat it? Because we didn't get a
word.
You
know what's funny is the video here looks great. So, no, it's just that, you know, Microsoft's lawyers must have said, Sky is a very general term. There's no way you can own this. This trademark is invalid. We're going to take you to court. And the lawyers from Sky said, yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because you know what else is a really general term? Windows. So why don't we argue about our respective trademarks?
Ooh, that's a good point. Sky and Windows are roughly generically equal.
Yeah. And, you know, Microsoft has a trademark on Windows, has trademarks on Windows, you know, and Sky has trademarks on Sky. And, you know, SkyDrive is a brand, as much as I think it's kind of a decent brand, it's not Windows. You know, it's not as big of a deal as Windows.
Not worth risking the Windows
trademark. No, and I'm not, I'm guessing, I'm just speculating on this, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was if the conversation went that way. And when it comes down to it, you know, SkyDrive, you know, not as important. But still, it's just like, seriously.
I know. It's so sad because it reminds everybody about what happened with Metro, right?
Also ridiculous.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah.
I know.
It is, right, equally ridiculous because the design language of a computer operating system would often be confused with a giant German firm that does what? Does anyone, what does Metro AG even do? What is this company?
Right. Well, aren't they one of Microsoft's, they're one of Microsoft's retail partners for PCs, I believe.
Big deal.
I know. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, yeah. It just was sad to see that happen. And here we go again.
Yep.
And what is the new name going to be is on everybody's
Puffy little mind. Cloud drive.
Like it.
There were so many.
It is a good name,
Leo.
It is a good name.
What?
And by the way, it's going to cost less than $854 million.
What's that?
Dropbox.
Oh, just buy them.
Dropbox is a great name.
Oh, you know.
How about Bingbox?
Bingbox. They own Bing.
I would be surprised if it wasn't something as simple as Microsoft Drive or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I liked Azure Drive, but a lot of people said that might be confusing because of storage.
Well, what about SharePoint, right? So they have the SharePoint brand.
It's such an enterprise brand, though. I'd hate to.
Right, but you know the unfortunate bit is with this new version of SharePoint and SharePoint Online, they rebranded their document library to SkyDrive Pro.
Terrible.
So they're going to have to I know. It was always a terrible name, but now they're going to have to change that.
So they do have time to do this. They've made a deal of some kind with BSkyB, undisclosed, that they can phase out SkyDrive.
Yeah, no, I'm actually pretty sure that this deal that they arranged with Sky was very similar to the French deal with the Germans in World War II, where they partitioned the country in half and, you know.
So you're fighting sure for the free Windows side?
Yeah, like the lawyer's name is Patan, and he petitioned to...
Paul's in the resistance.
I don't get it.
It's called appeasement, Paul. And it's never failed yet.
You really? Yes. is that the lesson? I was like,
Scroogle Drive, says Scott Michaud in our chat.
Yeah. There are so many good ones yesterday.
It's not a big deal, really. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't buy a box of SkyDrive. So it's not like there's customer confusion where they would go into the store and say, I'd like that SkyDrive, please. And the people say, oh, no, it's no longer called that. You get SkyDrive with, it's a feature. So I don't think that's the end of the world.
You get SkyDrive. It's like you get SkyDrive. It's like getting melanoma. You get it. It's
you get something it. That you'll have it. It just happens to you. Yeah.
You're going to have that conversation with you.
But they have put a lot of money into the SkyDrive brand. And, they've really been stepping up the playing on its synergies with Windows, right? Like how when you use Office 365 or Windows and you're automatically saving things into SkyDrive. Like they've really, really, I think,
I think ironically, that is what caught the attention of Sky TV, right? That suddenly SkyDrive, which was this cute little thing that nobody used, is now very prominent in their marketing, and it's prominent in Windows. That's when maybe it starts stomping over there what they perceive to be their ownership of a very common term, which is really insane to me. But there it is.
Just a programming note. I've received a note from Motorola and Guy Kawasaki that even though our NDA extends to midnight tonight, since everybody else, including The Verge, has broken that NDA. That we will, in fact, be able to do something at 3 p.m. Pacific today. So, three hours from now, Guy Kawasaki will join us, and we will talk about the Moto X phone in greater detail. Moving on, unless you want to talk about SkyDrive some more, Outlook.com.
I'm going to cry in my beer.
At least you got some beer to cry in. That makes it all okay.
Do you remember when Microsoft used to just trample over everybody in this industry?
Yeah, that's
everyone
right.
Everyone was afraid of this company. Everyone.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it has to go back to that. Obviously, it cannot. But I just don't understand how they roll over so quickly every single time now.
I think it's saving them a lot of money, even though it may be hurting their pride, right? Because they spent so much money fighting so many lawsuits over the years on so many fronts. It just feels like they settle now way more than they used to.
But a settlement suggests some form of, I don't know, compromise.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this technically was a settlement. This thing with Sky.
No.
Just because they don't have to stop right now. You know what's really interesting? We've got 48 hours for President Obama to give a reprieve to Apple. Did you see that? The iPhone 4,
Do you think there's someone sitting in a retail distribution center looking at the clock, wondering if the phone's going to ring so they can release the palette of iPhones?
They're about to pull the electric switch.
All they have to do is drop a little. All they need is a little drop of water and then we'll kill the iPhone. Just hit it right in that headphone jack and it's over.
So apparently Samsung countersued Apple and got an injunction prohibiting Apple from importing iPhone 4s, what was it, and 3Gs, or I can't remember what it was. It was the iPad 2, which I don't think they're selling anymore, and the iPhone 4, which they're giving away, but it's not, I don't think, a big part of their business. But it would be kind of ironic if I can't imagine that President Obama is thinking about that right now. Oh, gee, should I sign the reprieve? I don't know. I would hope he has more important things to do. Maybe you could turn off Prism and then sign the reprieve. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go, President. One year into Outlook.com, the top 10 features Microsoft has added due to user feedback. But, you know, that's just 10 of 600.
I know.
That's why you release a web product. Isn't that amazing? That's more than two a day.
Yeah.
So what are the top 10 features? Google Chat integration, archive, share from xDrive, inline, that's SkyDrive, but I just don't want to get in trouble with Murdoch.
He's a
son of a bitch. Inline images, Skype integration.
Yeah, Alias sign-in.
Sign-in with Alias. Two-step verification.
Yeah, a lot of these are really important features, too.
Drag-and-drop attachments. SMTP send, you bet.
Yep.
You bet. So there you go.
I can't wait till someone sues them for the name Outlook and they just change the name of everything.
Yeah, we never liked that name.
Man.
That you're not going to give up on.
No.
You've got to think people are just scrambling to see what terms they own so they can sue Microsoft.
Well, that's the negative of doing this, isn't it? Is that you kind of say, we go ahead. we'll give in. Try it. See what happens. Do you think they gave money to Sky saying, hey, we want to have a little longer? They must have.
I think they did give money. Yeah, there was a suggestion of that, was there not?
Unbelievable.
Financial terms were not disclosed. I think there was something in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unbelievable.
It was. Yep. it really is unbelievable in the classic sense of the term. Yeah.
All right. Would you like to do a Q&A before we get to your tips and picks of the week? We got a little bit of extra time.
Yeah. Somebody asked me what I think about the SkyDrive thing.
What do you think about that?
A fan of it, Leo.
What do you think of the SkyDrive thing? Should Microsoft name everything Zune? They've still owned that name.
Nice.
Yeah.
Zune Drive.
Quickster. we're just watching the chat room for those who are listening. Somebody says, I'm going to trademark the word word. Clippy Drive, Z Drive, XP Drive. Any questions for Paul and Mary Jo? Anything you'd like to... know about?
I think, you know, there was a mini issue this week where Instagram was apparently deleting photos that had been uploaded from Windows Phone using Instagram, like third-party clients.
There is no native Instagram client, but there are a number of very good, I think, Instagram compatible clients using the API.
Yeah, my understanding is that is finished, and it
was a mistake. It wasn't intentional. I guess the fear was that maybe Instagram would prohibit this kind of upload.
You don't want Windows Phone users flooding the Instagram network and taking it down. So
you say that.
It's completely understood.
But I remember when Instagram for Android came out, so many Instagrammers said, well, that's it. That now neighborhood's ruined.
Right, there goes the neighborhood.
Oh, Android people. Oh.
But on the Instagram for Windows Phone, it turned out they were writing to private APIs, and that's what got them in trouble.
Can't do that. There's a public API. Don't need to do the private API, so I guess they fixed that. Web 4484 wants to know why the Windows Phone updates are so slow.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, that's another thing. You know, we don't have this in the notes, but...
the GDR thing, right?
Yeah, it's hard to do the time frame on this, but I think back in December... Google announced as part of a bigger announcement that they were going to get rid of EAS support for individuals, for new accounts of people who had Gmail and Google Calendar. I think in January, Microsoft announced that they had actually worked with Google to extend the deadline until July 31st. And that by that time, they would release an update to Windows Phone that would include support for CalDAV and CardDAV, which are the two technologies that Google is using to expose their calendar and contacts databases. Of course, July has come and gone. That update is apparently part of GDR2, although I've never actually verified that that's the case.
I verified it's the case.
Yeah. It is okay. So GDR2 is only available as of now in two phones, the Lumia 925, which is on T-Mobile, I think, and the Lumia 1020, which is on AT&T. And it will go out to other users sometime in the next century. It's Windows Phone, so it's kind of hard to say. And so Google has agreed to extend the deadline on this until December 31st, I think, of this year.
That's right. GDR2 also is going to some 8X phones, though not Verizon users, I can say from experience. And I was just looking at WP Central. There's some reports that people are getting their phones bricked from GDR2 on 8X. Yeah, so maybe that's why we don't have it yet. Maybe there's something.
I don't think that's why.
But I'm trying to be optimistic here. Yeah, then, okay, so then after GDR2, which is rolling out now, then GDR3 is coming this fall. And that's the release that gives supposedly Windows Phone 8 users 1080p. It's going to allow people to put the phone operating system on phablets. Like five and 6-inch phablets.
And maybe not coincidentally, Nokia has an event.
Yes.
Right?
September 25th in New York, Nokia has an event. Although that seems so early for GDR3 based on
maybe
how they're
it's
rolling.
A tablet? But could it be a tablet?
That's well, what people are guessing.
My understanding is that GDR3 is actually done and that.
Oh, yeah.
By shipping, they can ship it as part of a new phone pretty easily, which is why we see GDR2 in 925 and the 1020. And that. It wouldn't, you know, look, we all understand how Windows Phone works. It may be next year before many users see GDR3 on existing phones.
Right.
Deep Pan wants to know if you know of a replacement for TechNet. Is Microsoft just going to move everything to MSDN?
Yeah, I mean, there are no direct replacements. MSDN is much more expensive from a subscription standpoint. They have something called Action Pack, which is also more expensive and, I guess, less inclusive. I don't know. You know, this is one of those issues that kind of splits the community because obviously the people that use it and love it and like to pay for that kind of thing don't appreciate that it's been taken away. But if you look at the spirit of what the subscription was about, you know, Microsoft's contention is that, look, we have these long-term trials. You can download VMs if you want. You can download the ISOs and install them. You can run them for months and months and months. And one of the good examples that just came out this week is that Windows 8.1 Enterprise preview, which will work through, I think it's mid-January. That's how those things, I think what's happening with TechNet is they'll spend the $150 a year, whatever it is, and then they install it on everyone's computer in the house. And that's not what this is designed for.
He was trying to complete his certifications on TechNet, and he cannot afford MSDN. So he's kind of screwed.
Yeah, there is a campaign. There's a petition going around. They've got thousands of people asking Microsoft to reinstate it, but I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know. Maybe we'll be surprised.
When I saw there was an announcement this week about the new version of the MSDN website, I thought, here we go. They're doing it to MSDN too, you know. And you have to think that's coming. So I don't know. But I don't think it's going to go back to the way it was.
No.
One last question from me. You still love your 1020 and the pictures you're taking with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been writing almost an article every day about the 1020, and I'll try to do that while I'm out here. But, you know, the big issue coming to Europe, as I do, was whether this could replace the camera. Because for a big trip, instead of using a smartphone, obviously I'd use a point-and-click with a nice optical zoom and everything. And I can tell you just from being here 4 or 5 days or whatever that the answer is yes. I mean, this camera is absolutely good enough. And some of the pictures I've taken here with this thing have been astonishing. And aside from the pure just photo stuff, right, whether you're out in the sun when it's beautiful, a cloudy day, rainy day, inside, outside, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's neat stuff that just happens on a smartphone that's not really possible on a regular camera. And it's not just about, you know, sharing photos on Facebook and all that kind of stuff, although that's obviously great. But you know, Nokia in particular has these great camera apps where you can do kind of fun stuff. I took pictures of my daughter coming down the stairway, and you do those action shots where it's like a blurry ghost vision of her coming down the stairs or a motion blur version of the photo or whatever it is. You can pick the best one of the pictures out of the mix. And, you know, they have all these neat kind of photo apps that aren't the main deal with the 1020 and aren't even necessarily 1020 specific.
They call them lenses.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff, and I expect over time that those things will improve for the 1020 in the sense that they'll work against those really high resolution versions of the photos. Like right now, they work against the 5 megapixel versions, but you know, the sheer amount of stuff you can do right on the device very quickly is amazing to me. Is really kind of amazing.
We're looking at Andy Iannocco's pictures with his 1020, mm-hmm. and they just, you're right, the crispness, the
they're incredible.
The detail.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's, this is zoomed in, you know, and that's the other thing.
Actually, yeah, so I don't have, mine aren't, won't be as big as this, but if you go to the Super site, I posted some photos from my vacation.
Oh, good.
Which is,
let me do that.
Borderline scary, but I,
let's see, Lumia, which part of the Lumia? Because you, boy, you really do have a lot on the Lumia.
Yeah, yeah, I do want to.
You literally have been posting every
day.
But
it's the, you know, Lumia goes on vacation one or whatever. Go down the list here. Right there, that one. The one that just came up on the top with the blue sky.
Oh, crap. I clicked the wrong one. There we go.
I see some beer photos.
Bia? Oh, yeah. You want some Bia?
A lot more than you're going to see in the on my site.
They just look like real pictures. That's the point, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
They don't look like camera phones.
And it's hard. You know, obviously, these are small images on the website, but when you zoom in on some of the stuff, it's like, so it's really, it's,
here's,
it's often
incredible.
Here's
the ski pole sign, and then you zoomed in on the
You can see how it's,
and look at
it's
the detail.
Got junk on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just amazing detail. Wow.
Yeah, one of the other good ones is like,
I think that zoom is really a big part of it. There's the Le Chouf. Because you don't have to frame it just so. You don't have to zoom optically. You've got the, or digitally, you've got the crop. And that makes a huge difference.
Yep.
Neat stuff.
Yeah.
I like this one of the family on the S.
Actually, zoom down for the last one at the bottom is, it's just a picture of like the base of a castle or something. And, oh, maybe not. Oh, they're not all loaded.
They're not all loaded yet. They're coming in.
We'll try. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But
come on. Oh, it's me. It's not you.
It's kind of a castle moat picture. But, you know, you zoom in on, like, these lily pads that are just in the front, and it's like, this is, like, kind of a, it's kind of an incredible photo just, you know, in and of itself, although I didn't take it that way.
These are
Or
gorgeous.
That picture of the little red truck that you can see, like, there's a little guy in it. There's, like, a guy inside the truck.
Oh, look, that's this. So the picture above is the picture you took, and then you crop down, and you can see a guy in it.
This is a guy taking a lunch break or whatever inside this tiny
truck.
That's
hysterical.
Yeah. It really is amazing. And I've had an opportunity now to...
We're getting a lot of breakup on, on Paul.
It's not perfect.
No. No, I mean, in fact, you could see some artifacting in the compression.
Sure.
You certainly see some grain when you zoom in, but it's good enough for certainly 90% of what people do nowadays is post pictures on the internet. Mm-hmm. And, it's good enough for that. You know, more than good enough for that.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's get to our pick of the week, our tips of the week, our enterprise and beer of the week. Let's start with your tip of the week from Amsterdam. I give you... Ich bin Lachno... Mr. Potharat.
You know, we've been doing this home swap thing now for, I want to say, 8 years or so. And it one thing that I have to say over these years of doing it is it's amazing how the technology has changed. And, you know, you would come out here a decade ago and you'd kind of be on your own and you were disconnected from everything. And now I come out here and my cell phone's on the entire time. I've got great data packages from AT&T and everything works. I get phone calls and texts and whatever. And increasingly, because we are in someone's home and we live here, so it's like our normal life. We don't, you know, we go obviously go out and do stuff every day, but you know, the kids are growing up and they're getting older, and they, you know, they want to watch TV and hang out and do things around the house and all this, and you start to miss some of the things you sort of assume that, you know, from back home. And one of those things are some of these like TV services like Netflix and Hulu and things that just don't work when you're overseas. You know, if you go to the Netflix website, for example, in the Netherlands, that service doesn't exist here. And so you can't log into your own account, even though you pay for that back home, or, you know, HBO Go or whatever it is. And so this year I started looking into those kind of VPN solutions that you can use to make it appear as if you're coming from the United States, because I do live in the United States and I want to access those services that I'm already paying for. And so I in an article that I put up on my site, I mentioned the one that I'm using, which is called, it's actually like, the name of it is actually like Hide My Ass.
VPN, you know. Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of it. But it's you know, I think if I was living here, I would probably try to save a little more money. It's about $11 for the month. But the point of it is you just turn the thing on, or if you're using a device, you can make changes to the VPN app that would be on like an iPad or an Android device. And it allows you to appear as if you're coming from the United States. And it allows you then to run, you know, Netflix and Hulu and all those services. And, you know, for 1 month of service, like $11 in the context of a 3-week vacation is a non-event. I mean, that's like 2 cups of coffee in a cafe in the morning. And it lets us, you know, do that kind of thing. And so this is, you know, it's one of those things that just makes this kind of a more of a normal experience. You know, I have a son who plays Xbox a lot, and this house has an Xbox, so no big deal. But, you know, Xbox is version locked. We can't bring our games here, so we're kind of beholden to the games that they have. Years and years ago, we actually brought an Xbox here, not to this house, but to a different house, because they didn't have an Xbox. And that gigantic power supply doesn't do voltage switching, so we plugged it in and it exploded. You know?
Oops.
And, yeah, I know. Brilliant. And so you kind of go through these things over the years and you learn, you know, to do things differently and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's just interesting. So if you do international travel and you want to access, you know, Netflix is the big one, but whatever, any of these services, there are lots of VPN services that do this. And some of them are a lot less expensive than the one that I chose. But certainly it appears to work pretty well.
So well, you're not using that now, are you?
No. Okay. Yeah, if you're wondering why the connection sucks. Yeah, Leo, why?
VPNs often are slower,
Leo,
because you're going through another server.
Pick of the week. Yeah. No.
Offered slower. That's sometimes the price you pay because you know. Yes. And we do have a really good sponsor, ProXPN, which I'd encourage people to check out if they're interested. Yep. ProXPN.com/twit, SN20 is a security code.
Yeah, I didn't try, you know, 5 or 6 of them. I just
No. And it's great to have. I completely agree with you. If you're traveling,
makes a big difference.
You're back in the U.S.
I can't stand when I go to, like, YouTube or Google or whatever, and it's like the version of the site.
Right. I agree.
Terrible.
Yeah. Software pick of the week.
So Microsoft, I don't know why they waited this long, but I want to say it was like 3rd week of June they released the Windows 8.1 preview, right, for Windows 8 and Windows RT. This past Windows 8.1 in an ISO download of Windows 8 Enterprise with the Windows 8.1 upgrade added to it. It expires at the same time that the Windows 8.1 preview expires, which is mid-January. And it includes all of the enterprise SKU tools that you know and love, you know, direct access support, branch cache, yada, yada, yada. But there are 2 new features that I've detected so far in this version that are unique to 8.1. One is a Windows to Go creator tool. And this is just a way to manage, you know, USB-based installs of Windows 8.1. Windows 8, whatever, Windows 8 with 8.1. And then there's also a something called Smart Screen Control, which is basically a set of policies that allows IT to control the layout of the start screen on the PCs that they give to their employees. And so you can do things like deploy a standard set of tiles on the start screen and other shortcuts and not allow the user to add to them or change them or delete them or whatever if you want that level of control or not. You know, it's your call, but in keeping with some of the new start screen customization features in 8.1, they've added that. I'm curious what Mary Jo has to say about this, but I take exception to the Windows 8.1 name because Windows 8.1, I can prove this comment now, is not a new version of Windows. Windows 8.1 is in fact an update to an existing version of Windows that is called Windows 8. And it updates Windows 8 Core, it updates Windows 8 Pro, it now updates Windows 8 Enterprise, and it also updates Windows RT. But Microsoft has this really inconsistent way of referring to it. Sometimes they refer to it like it's Windows 8.1 is this thing, and it's like a new version of Windows. And sometimes it's an update. But the reason I believe that we can now claim that it is in fact just an update is that this release, this update, does not change the lifecycle policy of Windows 8. That they're not extending the life cycle of, like, in other words, the Windows 8.1 life cycle A, does not exist, but if it did, does not go out to 1 year from Windows 8. It is just the Windows 8 lifecycle. So in other words, that says to me, this thing is literally just an update to an existing operating system and not a new thing.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do with that going forward, because they definitely want to play this as a new version of Windows, because their whole messaging and positioning is we're getting more rapid and we're going to have a new version of Windows every year. I don't know if they've actually said or promised every year, but that's kind of the understanding. So you're right. If they are going to call this a new version of Windows, you would think it would tick the support cycle up by a year, right?
Right.
But maybe, you know, it doesn't right now. And, you know, I guess you could use that as an argument to say it's an update. But then there also are quite a few new features, and they are changing things at the API level. So that makes me say, okay, or is it a new version? Like, is that the way you would, you know, figure is that makes it a new version, or it doesn't make it a new version? I think they're playing around with naming right now and positioning a lot. And I think when there is a Windows 8.2 or whatever comes next, we'll have a better feel for how this is going to go into the future.
It is really awkward right now referring to this stuff. So anyway, this is available now. You can grab it from the TechNet website. I've got a blog post about it, of course, but there it is. Why did they wait so long? Do you have any idea? That's the other thing. I don't understand.
I know.
This was done like a month and a half ago.
I know. I gave you the Windows to Go key with it from the partner show where they had the bits. So I don't know why they waited. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, it's weird. This is to so people don't get too excited when August comes and goes. Nothing does happen.
Nothing happens.
No, do you really think they're going to miss RTM in August? I don't think they are.
No, but I think it's going to be – well, I think it's going to be a crunch. I think it's going to be a lot later in the month than they expected. Yeah.
Mary Jo Foley has our enterprise pick of the week.
Yep. So the enterprise pick of the week is the Link client. It's the July Link client that just came out. So, you know, Link is basically the business version of Microsoft's unified communications product. It's like the business complement to Skype, in other words. And so today, it was just today I saw this blog post. Microsoft put out the cumulative update for Link 2013, and it has two-factor authentication as one of their new features in it, which is interesting. And they also, earlier this month, rolled out some additional Link features around the Link meeting capability. So Link does IM, and it does a few other things on the Unify front, but they also it is the client for online meetings. And they added new capabilities around conversations for Windows Phone, iPhone, and iPad. So you can actually use Link on those phones to participate in a Link meeting. You can see the meeting content when you're on Windows Phone and iPhone. You can see your Outlook meeting schedules, join Link meetings from directly inside the Link client. So there's a whole lot of new capabilities for people who rely on Link for meetings. And they said the new Link meeting capabilities already are in Office 365 and Link Online, but you need this July cumulative update for the Link server to get all these capabilities if you're an on-premises Link customer. So lots of little incremental things coming along the front, coming along the Link front, which is good.
I hope someday to have a Link server running and have interoperability with Skype so that we could use Link or Skype for our calls someday.
That'd
someday.
Be great. One of these days.
Will it be this year, you think? I know it's happening.
No.
Next year.
Next year.
All right.
Next year.
Mm-hmm. First half of next year. You're talking about the video, group video chat.
Yeah.
Skype interaction. Yeah, no, it's the first half of 2014.
Right. Yep.
We are already looking at building a Link server, so we're getting there. Codename pick of the week in honor of SkyDrive.
Yeah. So the codename pick of the week is Metro, but this was funny.
We're going to get sued.
No. So I didn't know this, but Rafael Rivera sent me this file that he had found where I had totally forgotten this, but you know, Metro wasn't just the codename for the tiled UI and the design language for Windows 8 and Windows Phone. There was a Metro codename that Microsoft used before that. And it referred to it was around the time of like Longhorn, and it was when Microsoft was working on what now is called XML paper specification, XPS. And so there was this thing called Metro. And Metro Reach. Yep, those were the code names for XPS. The code name was Metro.
That was like a printer pipeline or something like that.
That's, it was like a, it was a way, it was kind of like their competitor in a way to PDF files, although it wasn't an exact competitor to it, but it
except
was
that it didn't actually compete in any way.
Yeah, right. It was it was more like a way to kind of to make a better format for printed output, and so that's what Metro originally was, the very original Metro code name and Metro Reach. So that, I thought that was really interesting and timely, given the SkyDrive and Metro news of this week.
They're recycling code names and acronyms.
They are. They always recycle code names.
Yeah. Yeah, because there aren't enough in the world.
Right. You need more.
You need more. We need more code names. Most importantly, it is IPA Day today. Happy IPA Day.
Thanks. It is. It actually is. It's a holiday.
So who said that and why?
I don't know. I
who
guess
named
it's,
it?
This
I don't
is
like the devil's Christmas.
It is. Yeah, because Paul hates IPAs.
You don't like IPAs? What, they're very hoppy, right? What is it makes an IPA?
Yeah, too hoppy.
Extra hoppy. Extra hoppy. Yep. Okay. And I don't know when. Well, I know when this started. And I don't even think it's National IPA Day. It's just called IPA Day. It started in 2011. That was the first time it was celebrated. And now it's become this annual thing to celebrate the delicious and varied IPAs all over the world.
We have an excellent IPA here from
Lagunitas. You do.
It's just a very good IPA.
Yeah. You guys have I think the hoppiest and best IPAs that I've ever had. Whoa. But
that means Paul would love it.
I know. So I picked the hoppiest IPA I could find for the beer pick of the week, which is Stone Ruin 10 IPA
from Stone Brewing Company.
Stone makes amazing IPAs, and this one is an Imperial IPA, so it's 10.8%.
Gee-many.
Yeah, you're not gonna treat this as a session beer. But
what does that mean? Like you're gonna drink a bunch
beers
of it?
You can drink a lot of them. Like they're 4%, 3%. But this is a 10.8, and it's really, really hoppy and delicious.
A lot to learn about beer culture.
Yeah, pine, grapefruit, all those good things, and it's meant to celebrate. It's a celebration of their 10th anniversary IPA.
Our sysadmin Bear says you have made an excellent choice.
Thank you.
He says a very good IPA.
It is. Yep.
All righty. That means we've come to the conclusion of this edition of Windows Weekly, the Paul Theroux in the Dark edition. We will be back. You're going to be in Amsterdam how long?
3 weeks.
Can you get a light between now and then?
Yes. It's scary
to have that head floating out at me. That's all.
Normally, I would be in a different room. It's just that today was so hot. Up on the third floor, and it felt like it was 120 degrees in there. So
staying cool in the basement.
Yeah, sorry.
He really is in the basement. No,
I'm on the second floor.
We're glad to have your trenchant insights.
Yes.
That's right. I'll have to look that one up.
Even if you look like you're coming from a trench.
Provisionally, thank you.
No, trenchant is good. It's a good word. But Paul is still writing. I mean, that's the funny thing about Paul. He doesn't take breaks, really. If you go to the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, you will see plenty of stuff, including a bunch of stuff on the new 1020. At least you could tie, vacation photos into your work. So that's a nice mix. WinSupersite.com. He's finished the phone book, the Windows phone book. You can read the proofs at WindowsPhoneBook.com and add your 2 cents. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to plug? You got an event coming up. When is that? October?
I think it's October 1-ish.
If you go to the Supersite for Windows, you can read about it and get your tickets to see Paul and Mary Jo live from Mandalay Bay doing Windows Weekly. Which reminds me, I've got to book somebody for you so we can do that. Okay. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's where she hangs her ink-stained hat and her trenchant analysis.
Yes.
You can read her work there and find her at a beer hall near you. Session drinking.
Yes. It's sessionable.
It's sessionable. I love that. I'm learning so much between you, Iaz, and Liz. I'm really learning the beer culture here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
You're in a pretty good place for beer.
I don't even drink beer. I rarely even drink wine. I'm in the best place for beer and wine.
I know. What?
I drink water. Something wrong with me. We do this show on Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC on twit.tv's. Tune in live. We always like having the live interaction. And sometimes when we, like today, when we have some time, we even take questions from you. That took them off guard. Next time they'll be ready.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We won't do it again. Quick, get a question. I don't know. What do I? of course, you can always get on-demand versions after the fact. Audio and video available at twit.tv/WW or wherever you can subscribe to internet broadcasts all over the place. Thanks, Paul. Oh, thanks, Mary Jo. What? Yes.
Since every week I sort of run into this, I'm always kind of amazed by it. We have like a YouTube channel.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
Well, I do know it. I'm just saying it's kind of amazing.
I never plug it. You're right. I should plug it. YouTube.com/Windows Weekly.
Yeah. It's like we're a thing.
Well, what we used to do until about 2 months ago is everything was on the Twitch channel, and we realized you couldn't subscribe to individual shows that way.
Yeah.
So we've decided each show should have its own channel, and we were lucky enough to get Windows Weekly for yours as the name, YouTube.com/Windows Weekly. Do subscribe there. That's fine. We encourage you to do that, and you can watch the shows.
I like those things at the top are like our sim versions.
Yeah, they like are. Isn't that good? The sim versions of Paul and Mary Jo. The sim people. No noses, but man, they're good looking.
I mean, really brown hair.
We both did.
No, I love that. Those are Snaggy does those. Nitro Zach and Snaggy of Joy of Tech do those caricatures for us, even though they're now very famous. If you go there, you can watch them. You can link to them to other people. Share your Windows Weekly, share clips and stuff. And one of the nice things about YouTube, I should mention, when you're sharing something, you can jump to a part of the video. And then the share button will have a link to just that part of the video. So click the share button and you can say, where do you want to share? I want to share it from current video, you know, where I am right now. And it will automatically add that, which is really, really nice. So you can jump right to a part of the show doing that. One of the great many reasons you should press that subscribe button on the Windows Weekly YouTube feed. Paul, Mary Jo, have a great time at Ski Paul Airport and its environs. We'll talk to you again next week. You look like Scaramouche. Scaramouche, can he do the Fandango?
I know. It's
thunder and lightning, very, very frightening me. Mary Jo Foley's in New York City, enjoying the heat. Actually, it's kind of cooling off a little bit now. Weird.
It is, a little bit.
And we will be back next week on Windows Weekly. Thanks, guys.